This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. For a look at this week's grain markets, I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of red on the screen. We started to break the markets lower to start the week. It was an active weekend of harvest progress, and the USDA's weekly crop progress report showed that the corn and soybean harvest was much further along than anticipated. And so traders are starting to work now with the sense that corn and soybean crops are getting bigger. The next Monday's USDA crop report will probably see an increase in its production estimates. Yesterday's export inspection report showed a record 101.8 million bushels of soybeans were delivered during the previous week. That's more than what the entire ending stocks were for the last marketing year. So that shows that the pipeline is flowing. And while demand is very strong, especially for soybeans, but also pretty good for corn as well, the supply is even bigger. And for a while, we rallied the market in October because of harvest delays and farmers weren't delivering. But now those on-farm storage is filling up. Corn and soybeans are making their way to town, and things are starting to flow. And so futures traders are saying, you know, this rally's probably over. We're probably overpriced, and so they're taking prices lower.
And I'm sure that that is something farmers do not want to hear. In their opinion, crop prices are low enough as it is. How low do you think we're going to see prices go here?
Well, I really think there's a real risk that we could see prices fall to new lows. I think that this market is still vulnerable, that we could test $3 for corn, that we could maybe, if it keeps raining in South America now, the weather pattern is turning much more favorable. It's still early May in our growing season equivalent of. So a lot could happen, but for now the weather pattern looks very favorable for South America. So with all those factors, the big crops that we've got, I think that we're vulnerable to making new lows, and soybeans maybe dropping below $8. So will it happen? I don't know. Nobody knows what the markets will do. They don't have to do what you think they have to do, but it's pretty hard to build a bullish case right now. As long as the rains are coming in South America, if they produce a big soybean crop and some of the local estimates are an 8 to 10% increase over last year, then that would build on the surplus soybeans even with the big demand, and could start dragging on corn, pulling corn lower as well. So right now I think you have to be in a defensive mode if you're unpriced and make sure you have price protection beneath you.
And I'm sure with these huge crop numbers and low crop prices, people are looking at different ways to use the crops. So how are biofuels looking right now?
Well, ethanol, we've seen a big drop in ethanol prices, and that has certainly raised a lot of eyebrows. But when you look at the overseas demand, it remains good. And I think overseas demand, exports of ethanol, are going to keep profitable margins for ethanol producers. In fact, we're seeing Brazil has now cleared the way to increase the blending with gasoline to 27.5%. So that's moving through right now. And local analysts believe that we will double exports of U.S. ethanol into Brazil to 600 million liters over the current marketing year. Europe is going to take U.S. ethanol. So as long as we can freight it to the export terminals with our logistics issues, I think we're going to see profitable ethanol. When you look at the livestock industry, it's going to take some time to rebuild the cow herd, but the hog industry is showing signs of getting control over the PD virus. Eradicate it? No. Manage it? Yes. And so I think we're going to see an increase in feed usage. Cheap corn buys demand, and I think we're going to see that demand growth globally. Not just here in the United States, but globally. So cheap prices do stimulate demand. It will buy our way out of here. It may take some time, but I think we're in the process of carving out those multi-year lows, depending on weather patterns that we see, and going to build a strong demand base for the future.
And I'm sure that grain producers are eager to see the livestock herds grow and replenish because they are the number one consumer of our crops.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's always been a partnership between the grain producer and the livestock producer, and we want to see that continue. And these cheaper grain prices certainly should be a breath of fresh air for those feeding livestock. And in fact, it's ironic that with the freight problems that we're seeing in the northwestern Midwest and very cheap corn prices up there, that we're seeing a dramatic shift north into the northern plains, and particularly into South Dakota and Minnesota, of cattle feeding. So we're seeing an expansion of the feedlot belt up in that area because of the cheap corn. It's actually stimulating a change in the livestock industry responding to the lower costs of grains. The farmer is very innovative in finding ways to make things go. It's going to be more difficult. I'm bullish agriculture long term. I think there's great opportunities in agriculture. But we've been through a period where the profits are just almost handed to producers. We're going to have to work harder to get those profits. We're going to have to work harder to maintain, make sure we're using a business approach and locking in our margins to make sure that we're in business a year from now. We're much healthier than what we were 10 years ago, but it's going to be a little bit more of a struggle over the next year or two, but I think there's going to be great opportunities for the producer who takes a business approach to the farm and takes advantage of what the market gives them and has a plan and the discipline to follow that plan.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. We'll hear more from Suderman coming up after this.
Who else provides a partner in crop production like M&M Service Company? The fact is, with your M&M crop specialist working with you throughout the entire year, you have the unique advantage of combining quality seed with expert agronomic knowledge and know-how. As a true business partner, you can rely on your M&M Service crop specialist to help you reduce risks, make smarter decisions, improve profits, and just make the whole business of farming easier. So, for a production partner that can bring solutions that work in your fields, get a hold of your M&M Service Company crop specialist today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Just because you're working doesn't mean you can't plan a holiday party. Make it easy on yourself by making farmer-owned Prairie Farms the honored guest. Serve Prairie Farms ice cream, available in quarts and in flavors like pumpkin spice, chocolate mint, Irish cream, and cherry cordial. And to make sure your family enjoys the holidays, keep them healthy with balanced meals that include plenty of Prairie Farms milk and 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms, farmer-owned.
Are fuel prices costing you a fortune? Area Diesel Service can help with agricultural diesel solutions modules. Over 1,000 applications can get up to 35% more horsepower, and these performance modules aren't just for planting and harvest. There are modules for medium and heavy-duty trucks and your light-duty diesel pickups. For details, call 800-637-2658 or visit the new redesigned website today by logging on to areadiesel.com. That's areadiesel.com.
All it takes is one visit to the emergency room or one night's stay in the hospital to realize the importance of health insurance. And no matter what your health insurance needs are, Country Financial Representative Wayne Schaefer has a policy to take care of those needs, from disability income to long-term care coverage. I am committed to helping you balance your need to protect what you have with your desire to build for the future. In today's world of rising health care costs, you can't afford to be without quality health insurance. From me, Wayne Schaefer, your Country Representative in Jerseyville, give us a call at 618-498-5800.
Continuing our conversation with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman, he went over what the livestock markets are looking like this week.
Well, as we look at livestock, we went through last week, the packers pretty much won the battle with the feeders, and we were $2 lower on the cattle, cash cattle prices. The previous week, the feeders won the battle. So last week, the packers won it, and they did so by getting a larger control of the formula cattle, the contracted cattle, being aggressive. And sometimes, and what they've been doing over the last few weeks is not only just buying ahead with basis contracts, in some cases buying the cattle and then putting them back on feed to put more weight onto them to be delivered a few weeks down the road. And so what they're trying to do in essence is raise the weight of the cattle to try to meet the need, but also try to get more control over it so they don't need as many numbers as well. And the question is out whether it's still, whether it's going to work or not. But for last week, it did work. We're coming into a period of time now at the holidays, of holiday shortened slaughter schedules, so their chain speed is not going to be what it has been. Slaughter numbers are starting to drop, but demand is dropping off as well. And I think one of the big questions for the beef industry is, will they be able to hold demand up enough to hold prices up with pork prices falling so far? And that's a real legitimate challenge, I think, for the beef industry right now, and very possibly may portray the high in the beef market if pork prices drag beef down.
Now, beef has been concerned about when they were going to see a drop for a while now. They made it through the summer months, it seems, better than expected because consumers were still wanting to buy their burgers. But I'm sure as colder months set in, it's not grilling season anymore, that maybe now beef will see its long-awaited drop.
Well, and that's a big question mark. If you were to hold demand at the levels that we've been at, there certainly are not enough animals to meet that demand as we go into the winter. So that alone would suggest higher prices this winter. But with pork prices dropping so hard, the consumer could finally make that switch over to pork and poultry, particularly with pork supplies looking like they're going to be ample. And so you can actually have the rationing and demand at lower prices rather than higher prices. So that's the big debate in the cattle market right now. And frankly, no one in the industry knows how it's going to play out. Futures traders are betting that it's going to play out in the term of rationing at lower prices. And so that's why they're trading at a discount to the cash market, because they believe that the high is in. They've been wrong before, but lower pork prices mean and give them better odds that maybe they'll be right this time.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. New trading limits on corn, wheat, and soybean futures took effect with the overnight trade. All are lower than the previous limits set last May. Managing Director of Agricultural Research and Product Development for CME, Dave Lehman, explains how CME determines the new daily limit.
In the case of the November reset, we're looking at the December contracts for each of these commodities, or November in the case of soybeans and rice, and over 45 days prior to the middle of the month, the 15th of October, we take an average of the daily settlement prices, multiply that by 7%, and that's our new price limit rounded to the nearest 5 cents per bushel, or $5 per ton in the case of meal, and that then is implemented 2 weeks later.
The daily limit is now 70 cents for soybeans, 25 cents for corn, 35 cents for Chicago wheat, and 40 cents for Kansas City wheat. The soybean meal limit is now $25 per ton. These limits stay in effect until May. The Illinois Crop and Weather Report was released. Minimal precipitation allowed producers another favorable harvest week. Corn and soybean harvest jumped 18 and 20 percentage points from the previous week, respectively. There were 6 days suitable for field work for the week ending November 2nd. Statewide, precipitation averaged 0.35 inches, 0.43 inches below normal. The average temperature was 46.2 degrees, 5.3 degrees below normal. Corn harvest was 77% complete, 5 percentage points behind last year, but in line with the 5-year average of 78%. Soybean harvest was 83% complete, 8 percentage points behind last year, but also in line with the 5-year average of 84%. Sorghum mature reached 95% and sorghum harvest was 75% complete. 69% of the winter wheat had been planted and 36% had emerged. Pasture condition was rated at 1% very poor, 5% poor, 26% fair, 51% good, and 17% excellent. Topsoil moisture supply was rated at 6% short, 77% adequate, and 17% surplus. Subsoil moisture supply was rated at 1% very short, 9% short, 80% adequate, and 10% surplus. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.